Chapter 12. Darkness wrapped around Anakin like a cloak and whispered to him like a mother. It promised him a face of durasteel and a heart of ferrocrete. It offered him supernovas of power and the unflinching will to use it. He had been to this place before, often. It was his oldest dream, perhaps dreamed for the first time when the clone of the Emperor Palpatine touched him through his mother's womb. And when he learned about his namesake, his grandfather Vader, the dreams grew stronger, more detailed. He saw futures in which he was grown, his blue eyes gone as gray as hull plating. He saw himself in Darth Vader's mask, the Knight of Darkness reborn. He had made a sort of peace with his dreams in the cave on Dagobah, the same cave where his uncle Luke had faced his own dark side and failed. But peace did not mean silence, and here, on a moon as deeply stained by the dark side as the Sith themselves, the dreams were particularly troubling. But now something broke, a dam holding back ebon waters that hit him so cold and strange that the tattoo in his chest stopped, as if a fist had closed on his heart. Soft laughter began, familiar yet strange. The pitch and timbre were wrong, but the cadence was as known to him as his father's speech. A woman's laughter, throaty and sardonic. It made the hair on his neck prickle up. He turned and saw her. Her hair was gold, the gold of a vein in a sunset on Coruscant, or on the sudden spark of an inferno. One of her eyes was jade and the other obsidian. Her lips were fringed by 100 incisions, and a white scar ran from the top of her forehead to her chin. Armor of a black and gray banded chitinous substance fit close to her body, a very adult, very human body, though the armor was plated and jointed like an insect's. Knobs and spurs stuck out from her shoulders and elbows. She smiled at him through those split lips and held up something baton-shaped, which flexed in her grip like a sluggish pupa. Sudden light blazed from one end of it and resolved into a blazing blue blade. Dark side energy crackled around her, calling to him, and he felt a sudden terrible attraction to her, every part of him yearning for her in a way he had never even begun to feel before. She grinned more widely and laughed again, and with sudden understanding Anakin realized that she wasn't looking at him at all, but at someone else in the vision, someone Anakin couldn't see. "The last of your kind," the woman said, her voice made whispery by what had been done to her mouth. "The last of my kind." And she raised the blade, and Anakin recognized her. "Tahiri," he shrieked. She paused, as if she might have heard something very far away. Then she came forward, sweeping the weapon down, and Anakin choked on the look in her eye, the mixture of glee and despair, joy and sickness. He awoke, still choking. A strong hand was clamped over his mouth. He squirmed, but the grip on him was sure and strong. He tried to get his feet under him and failed. "Come, no fear," he thought. "Get it together, Anakin. You're supposed to be on watch. They won't even hear this in the cave if you die." He used the force to twist the hand away from his mouth and shove his attacker sprawling, and in the next instant got his feet under him and his lightsaber in hand. In its sudden light, he made out a bearded face, a blaster. He leapt forward. "Wait, Jedi, I'm a friend." "Yeah? Why did you attack me? Didn't—" He wheezed off, his voice sounding strange, weak, as if he rarely used it. "Name's Coral. I have been a friend to Jedi. I didn't know who you were." "Coral?" "My brother and sister knew a Coral. He made them fix his ship at Blaster Point." "Jason." "Jaina," the old man said. "Coral also saved them from the Shadow Academy." "You were a TIE fighter pilot, stranded here when the Death Star was destroyed. You went off and came back. I left as an enemy to your brother and sister. I came back their friend." "You're really their brother?" He squinted. "Can't see so well anymore. What are you doing here? Saw some ships fly over, fighting. Thought I saw one go down, so I followed to see. He shrugged. 7 days later, here I am. So you are. Anakin struggled to remember what he knew about this grizzled old man. Jason and Jaina had found his wrecked TIE fighter and set about fixing it, not realizing its pilot was still around, hiding in the jungle, unaware that the war was over. Carl had forced them to finish the repairs and left them to die, but had later helped them escape the Shadow Academy. Anakin remembered that Carl had ended up back on Yavin 4, but none of the details. He did know that Jason and Jaina counted him a friend, and Uncle Luke had been content to leave the old man alone. Carl gestured at the lightsaber. "Could you put that away, please?"
"Oh, sure."
"Who are you fighting?"
"Peace Brigade."
"Who?" How long since you've had news from the outside, Carl?"
"I don't know.
Old Peckham dropped off some supplies for me, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I told him not to come back."
"Oh, well, this will take some explaining, then."
"A lot of explaining."
"Will it explain the new ships I've seen, the strange ones?"
Anakin felt his chest constrict. "What ships?"
"They look like growths of some kind. Ugly."
"Oh, no," Anakin whispered. "Okay, I'll have to tell this as fast as I can, and then—" He remembered his vision, that future Tahiria, dark Jedi with Yuuzhan Vong scarring and implants. "And then there's something I have to do, no matter what. I need to talk to you, Ven." Anakin settled down across from the man.
"So talk. Hey, who's the old guy?"
"A hermit of sorts. I'm putting him in charge of you."
"What do you mean?"
Ven asked suspiciously. Anakin drew a deep breath and plunged into it. "Okay, here's the thing, Ven. I need your help. I've been telling you that for a while."
"And you were right."
"Yeah, well, too bad. You've treated me like hot slime. Why shouldn't I return the favor?"
"The Yuuzhan Vong are here."
That got his attention. Ven's face closed over his fear, but Anakin could still feel it.
"Coral's seen their ships."
"They'll find us," Ven said flatly.
"Why should they? They aren't looking for us.
Unless the Peace Brigade tells them about the crash. But I don't think they will. It would only show their incompetence, right? So the Yuuzhan Vong see us only if they notice us on a random patrol, and the odds of that depends on how many ships they have patrolling," Ven interrupted.
"You don't know the one, so you don't know the other."
"True. The thing is this. I'm going after my friend back at the temple. I'm going now. I want you and Coral to get Sana and Valen off of this moon."
"What?
Have you got some kind of fever? You can finish the repairs on your ship, can't you?" Ven continued to stare at him as if he was crazy.
"No. The sublight drive is nearly repaired. I'll show you."
"Impossible."
"Nope.
You still need some parts, but Coral knows where you can get them. And you have Fiver. I've programmed him with everything you'll need." "And why should I do this again?"
"I keep missing that part."
"Because it's your only chance, too. You think the Yuuzhan Vong are going to hail you as an ally when they find you?"
"I doubt it very much."
"You say you were only in the Peace Brigade for the money. You say you don't really share their cause. Let's say I'm going to take you on your word about that. Get these kids to safety, and I can guarantee you a profit."
"How do you know I won't just fly straight to the Vong and turn Valen and Sana over to them?"
"A couple of reasons. The first is that Coral will blast a very large hole in you if you try it. I don't completely trust the man. He was an Empire stalwart, 20 years after the death of the Emperor. By the same token, he would never turn humans over to the Yuuzhan Vong, or let you do it. He might take off for the Imperial Remnant the instant he gets the chance, but the way I see it, that's parsecs better than staying here. The second is that I think you'll do whatever gives you the best chance of getting out of this with a whole skin.
and you're smart enough not to gamble on the milk of Yuuzhan Vong kindness. The third, he leaned close. Third, if you bring any harm to Valen or Sana, you'd better pray I'm dead. Because if I'm not, no matter what, I will find you. That, I swear.
Ease up, Jedi. I'll do it. Anything has to be better than hanging out in the jungle waiting to die of a lizard bite. But I don't want you to threaten me again. I'm really sick of that.
I've said what I meant to say. I won't say it again. Anakin raised his voice. Coral, could you come here, please? The old pilot shuffled over and treated Ven to a thorough once-over. He knelt on creaky joints and shook his finger in Ven's face.
I know you, he muttered.
You're crazy, Ven said. I've never seen you before in my life.
Oh, no.
Even if you saw somebody like old Coral, you wouldn't recognize him. You don't have the database. On the other hand, old Coral has seen 100 like you. You won't give Coral any trouble. You'll do what he says.
Right, Ven said. Just stay away from me, yeah? Or take a bath, at least. You smell like a Wookiee's armpit.
Coral laughed brusquely, put his hands on his thighs, and rose painfully to his full height. He looked squarely at Anakin.
You sure about this, then? He asked.
I've got to do it, Anakin said. The Force is pulling me to do it.
The Force? Ha! Will the Force get you halfway around the moon in less than a year? Because that's how long it will take you to walk it, if you don't get gobbled by piranha beetles or die of creek fever. You might as well wait until we have the ship fixed.
I don't have to walk, Anakin said. The repulsor lift system in the E-wing was salvageable. I cobbled together something that will pass for a speeder.
Already?
Days ago. But until you came along, I couldn't really talk myself into going. I couldn't take Valen and Sana, and I couldn't leave them behind. But now I have two signs, he finished to himself. Coral and my dream. It felt right to go. It felt terribly wrong not to. It felt... Chewbacca's face flashed in his mind, as he had last seen it, and Tahiri, alone, surrounded. Tahiri, grown, wearing Yuuzhan Vong armor and wielding dark side force. It was a risk he had to take. I'm going to explain this to Valen and Sana now, Anakin said. I'll leave in the morning.